Well, thank you, Walker.
Whoa.
Sorry about that. Thanks, Walker, for leading in music. Thank you, musicians, everybody, for taking care of that. Appreciate it. I want to make mention of two things. Number one, right before we get started, you can if you're not already there, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And while you're doing that, children, you may be dismissed to your children's church classes if you haven't gone already. And the pink rose behind me is to welcome Cameron Page, born on the 13th, 8 pounds, 3 ounces, 20 inches long. So glad I have notes. To Jason and Amanda Scott. So Jason and Amanda, are you guys in here today? Are the grandparents here anywhere? Right over here. Congratulations to you guys. So hey, how many grandkids is that now? 3. All right. Well, congrats. It's another one to fall all over and not share with anybody. And so that's fantastic. Congratulations. She's doing well? Yeah? Okay. Great. And so, yeah, I want to make mention of that. Our pastor is on a trip, as Dirk mentioned, and he's on a missionary trip ministering to some of our missionaries. He's currently with Mark and Gina Morris down in New Mexico, and I talked to him yesterday. Things are going good. He's getting to spend some time with them. I think he told me it was -3 down there, and so not quite well. Oh, don't feel that bad. I mean, you know. And so, no, seriously, but yeah, pray for him as he has conversations with missionaries that we love and that we support, has conversations and reaches out and sees in what way he can help. That's why he's there, and so we're thankful he's willing to do that, but yeah, pray for him. He will be back on Sunday, which I think is Super Bowl Sunday, am I right? Yeah? Okay. And I don't know if he thought about that beforehand or not, but he is back for Super Bowl Sunday. So we're looking forward to having him back. But yeah, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're just going to look at the first two verses in 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. As I was studying this, as I was reading this and preparing for this morning, you know, what was such a blessing to me, and where I was challenged so much as I was studying this is and really what I want to focus on, and I hope that this can be a blessing to you, just like it was to me this week. You see the changed man, just the changed heart of Peter, totally a changed man from the man we knew him to be in the Gospels. This is what became so clear to me: the man that we knew him to be in the Gospels to the man that he is here in the book of 2 Peter. It's a huge, huge difference and a huge change. And that's what I want to focus on. And what I ended up asking myself as I was preparing for this is, these changes that we see in Peter's life, are they true in my life? That's what I caught myself asking myself over and over again. As Peter's about to reveal, in the book of 2 Peter, we're not going to really get into today what this book is really all about. We're really going to go over his greeting to the people. And as he greets them, he reveals who he is. And he reveals the man that he's become as he introduces himself. And I caught myself thinking, is this true about me? Has the Holy Spirit changed me to this level? And I hope we can all ask ourselves that question as we look at who this man has become and the different aspects of him. And so with that being said, that's where we're going this morning. And so will you pray with me? And I'd like to ask the Lord one more time to guide me and to guide us together as we look at his word. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I do just want to ask you one more time, as I have prayed many, many times this week, that you would right now just give me the words to say. I do want to ask that you would get me out of the way and that I would not be a distraction in any way, but that your Holy Spirit would just speak through me now to all of us. And I want to ask that you would challenge us through your word today as we look at Peter's greeting and who Peter portrays himself to be. And obviously it's the truth of who he was at this time, because it's written in your word. And so will you challenge all of us and confront us where we need confronted. Confront our hearts challenge our hearts and encourage our hearts all at the same time in whatever way is needed. And so we commit ourselves to you now, and we pray all of these things in your most precious name. Amen. This morning, if you're taking notes, point number one, we're going to talk about Peter's humble view of himself. Peter's humble view of himself. Look down there at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to read the first part of verse number 1 this morning. 2 Peter 1, the first part of verse number 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I want to stop here just for a moment as he introduces himself. And that's simply all he's doing. He's introducing himself and saying hello to his readers. And it's very, very great how he introduces himself. And if we're not careful, we can get right over it. He introduces himself first and foremost as a servant of Jesus Christ, first of all. And whenever you look at that Greek word for servant, it literally means slave. He introduces himself as, I am Simeon Peter, the slave of Jesus Christ. In other words, this is his attitude. This is how he views himself now. A slave of Jesus Christ. Someone who is just totally committed to Christ. Totally committed, totally sold out, totally up for doing whatever he's asked to do as a slave of Jesus Christ. You know, isn't this, and I caught myself going back to this, isn't this a huge, huge change from the man we see in the gospel? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, remember back in, my mind went here a little bit, you remember back in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to happen to him, and Peter takes the opportunity to not take orders from Jesus Christ. He actually takes the opportunity to give orders, you could say, pretty much. Now, I don't know about you. I like to think I have a lot of guts, but I don't know that I have that many to actually give orders to Jesus Christ, to the creator of the universe, all right? But that's kind of what he starts to do here, and Jesus Christ has to rebuke him for that. But look at just the, boy, my mind couldn't help but go here. Look at the changed heart of this man as he went from this all the way over to this, the whole different end of the spectrum. I'm now I'm going to introduce myself as first and foremost the servant or slave of Jesus Christ. He's my master. That's how I view him. This is how I view myself. This is how I view him. He is my master. He is the one who has bought me with his very own blood. And he owns me. And my only job right now, as his servant, is to say, yes, sir, to whatever he asks me to do. This is who I am. Do I introduce myself like that? Do I view myself like this? Yes, I'm a child of God. I can introduce myself that way. Do I view myself as the servant of Jesus? I say yes, sir, to him with anything that he asks me to do. He wants me to put up with something. Yes, sir. He wants me to go somewhere. Yes, sir. He asked me to act a certain way. Yes, sir. The Apostle Peter says, this is who I am. Do I struggle with this? Absolutely, I do. And let me tell you why. Because I find myself so naturally wanting to be more than this. Wanting to think of myself as so much more than this. Because here's the attitude that I can get, and maybe some of you can relate to this. Here's the attitude that I can get very, very quickly. I have the right to do this. I have rights. I have the right to be there. I have the right to act this way. You know? Rights. I want to think of myself as more than just a slave of Jesus Christ, or I deserve stuff. I catch myself thinking this way all the time. I deserve this. I deserve to be treated like this. I deserve to be given things like this. I deserve things. And as a servant of Jesus Christ, what we come to understand is, as a slave bought and owned by the very blood of Jesus Christ, is that I don't have rights. I don't have rights. I don't deserve stuff. I'm a yes servant to the Lord Jesus Christ, my master. He's my master. And you know, this really touches our lives very, very practically in a lot of different ways. You know? As a husband, my master has asked me to do something. As a master, as a husband, my master has asked me, love your wife and do not be harsh with her. How's that going with me? Well, I'll do that, but I deserve this if I'm going to do that. I deserve stuff. If I get something, maybe I'll follow through with that. The answer is no. I'm asked to do that by my master, by the one who owns me. Yes, sir, I will do that. Children that are in this room, that are under your parents' authority, you know something? Your master has asked you to do something. He's asked you to obey your mom and dad and to honor them with your lives as you're under as you're under their authority. Your master has asked you to be this way. And so quickly, how quickly does this happen? Well, you don't know what's happened. I deserve certain things if I'm going to act that way. I deserve to be treated like this, or I deserve to be given this. I have rights, don't I? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a slave to Him. I am bought by Him. Peter says, this is who I am. This is who I have become. This is my view of myself. Is this the kind of view we have of ourselves today? Is this the kind of view I have of myself? Man, as I just started turning that over, just His view of who He is, I want you to know, man, I came under serious, serious conviction on that. You know, our master, the one who bought us, you know, He asks us to be long-suffering. To be long-suffering with one another. To be patient. To not blow up real quick. To be long-suffering with people. And you know, people are not excluded from that. People in your life are not excluded from that. That actually includes your mother-in-law. Did you understand that? It would have been great, wouldn't it, if there would be a clause in there somewhere that says, no, mother-in-laws are excluded from that. That would make life a whole lot easier for some of you. But it's not. It's not, is it? He says, I'm your master. I have bought you. I own you. How do you view yourself? Have you placed yourself in that spot? The way Simon Peter had placed himself in that spot. I've asked you to do something. Will you say yes to me? Because I'm your master. He's our master. And let me just say this here right before we move on from this subject. Aren't you, this thought came to me too. Can't we be thankful for this? Can't we be thankful that we have the master that we have at the same time? Because I'll tell you what. So many masters, humanly speaking, so many masters that you hear about that had slaves, humanly speaking and everything, how many times were they just tools to better the person? That's not the case with you and with me. We serve a master, the one who's bought us, who loves us, and is working everything out, guess what? For your good and for my good. That's the master we have. That's the master we serve. And Peter says, this is who I am right here. I am the servant of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, that's who I am. And I hope we can view ourselves as a church that way. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. But he doesn't stop here. Let's move on. That's not the only thing he calls himself. Remember, we're still looking at Peter's humble view of who he was. And just the changed man. First of all, he viewed himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. But secondly, he also calls himself an apostle. And I also see a humble spirit in this as well. When he called himself an apostle, this was a title that he was given. And what he meant by that was he had been sent personally. This is kind of the thought behind that, behind being an apostle. He had been sent personally by Jesus Christ to go into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature and to make disciples. He had been sent physically by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had been with him. Peter was one of the ones who had seen Jesus Christ after he had risen from the dead, and Jesus Christ had sent him personally. But in that, you see a submissive spirit, don't we? Whenever we really look for it, the very fact that he was sent, and this is what Peter's saying. He's saying, "This is who I am. I am a servant of Jesus Christ first and foremost, and I'm also an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent personally by Jesus Christ." And you know something? Whenever Jesus Christ asks us to do something, we have a yes or no answer, don't we? I can say yes or I can say no and try and disobey. Now, we all know, we've all been Christians long enough to know that with God that doesn't work real well. But I still have that option that he gives me as my master. And we see here Simon Peter saying, "I have been sent," and I gave the answer that was the good one. I said yes to being sent here. Once again, my mind goes to this change that I see in him. This is the man who back in, like we said before, Matthew 16, wasn't taking orders but was giving them. This is the same man in Mark chapter 14 who denied that he even knew Jesus. Probably because he feared for his life at that point. Totally denied him. Now he has turned into the man. Get where my mind went. Now he has turned into the man who views himself as a slave of Jesus and as a man who said yes to the calling that God had placed on his life. What a changed man. I'm not going to take the time to do it now. But you know something? Let me just challenge all of us. We all know that we could go to scripture after scripture after scripture in the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. None of us obviously have been sent personally by Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ isn't here anymore. But we could go to scripture after scripture after scripture where the Bible talks about how we too are to go, aren't we? We too are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to make disciples. Let me ask us a question. I know we're not apostles, but how long has it been since we've shared the gospel with somebody? How long has it been since we've said yes to what our master wants us to do here? Let me ask you something. Do you ever talk about what God is doing in your life just to be a blessing to somebody? Talk to your friend, maybe somebody at work, maybe a family member. You know, you just go up and say, "You know what? I just want to talk to you about what God is teaching me through his word right now. I'm in such and such a book, and man, it was such a conviction to me as I read it and as I understood that, man, I wasn't living up to what God had asked me to do here. And man, Man, I'm going to change, and I'm looking forward to what he's going to do in my heart here. This is what I'm learning." How long has it been since we've been a blessing to each other that way? Where we talk about what God is doing with us. And in a way, discipling other people. I want to say this, and I know we say this every missions conference, but you know, I want to say it now. I want to ask this question. Is there anyone sitting here in this room who, you know what, maybe you haven't told anybody, but in a room this size, maybe there is someone, maybe there's a couple, where the Lord has been starting to deal with you as you've been walking with him, as you've been in his word seeking him. Maybe he's been working on your heart about going into full-time Christian ministry. Now, I want to say this because I know some of you are thinking it. We are all in full-time Christian ministry, and I understand that. Let me get that out of the way right now. But has God dealt in your heart a little bit with maybe going into pastoral ministry or going to the mission field, maybe to be a missionary to some people, to be their pastor, maybe to be a traveling evangelist. Whatever God is calling you to do, that whatever God is asking you to do as your master, boy, we need to say yes. No, we need to say yes. I'll be honest with you, I have the utmost respect for this man. A missionary that a lot of you know very, very well. In fact, probably a lot of you know him better than I do. How many of you know Jim Miller in this room today? Let me see your hands. Jim Miller. Yeah, most of us know him. And probably most of you probably know him better than I do. But I have the utmost respect for his story. And if I got his story correct, and I've met him several times, and we and him and I have some good conversations from time to time. But if I understood his story correctly, it goes like this. He was a businessman for 20 years, for around 20 years. And businessmen are wonderful. And we have so many of you in here that are great businessmen, and you're being a great light in this community, and that's fantastic. And he was doing the same thing. Yeah. Being a great businessman, serving in the local church, being a light in the community. And suddenly, as he walked with God, the Holy Spirit started to talk to him and started to lay on his heart the possibility of going into full-time Christian service. And make a long story short for you, he said yes. He said, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. You are my master. I belong to you. You have bought me. And it is my only duty to say yes to what you've called me to do. And to make a long story short, him and his wife are now in South Africa doing a fantastic job. And the Lord is using them in so many ways. Say yes. We need to say yes as servants of Jesus Christ. Take my wife, for instance. And I know I'm walking on thin ice. And some of you are thinking it, but you know what? Her story is a blessing to me as well. Whenever it comes to this, because you know, before I came into the picture, she wanted something else. She wanted a guy who was tall, dark, and handsome, and wasn't a pastor. And I'm really sorry. I don't know where my wife. Oh, there you are. And you really caught the bad end of that deal. I'm really sorry. Now, I got everything I wanted, which I'm totally good with. Now she told me recently that, no, it wasn't when you came into the picture. The Lord actually dealt with me before you were there. And so you can thank your lucky stars for that. Now, I don't know if I believe that or not. But the point is it's such a blessing because she surrendered that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we got together and as the Lord started to lead us in the way that he wanted us to go and guide us, she was an unbelievable support. And also continues to be an unbelievable support in the full-time Christian ministry that he's called us to. And it's a blessing to be here with you in the middle of God's will. But the bottom line is, like Peter did, this is the man Peter says, this is who I am. This is who I've been changed into. I want to introduce myself to you this way. As I am Simeon Peter, I'm a servant first and foremost of Jesus Christ, and I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ because I viewed myself as the servant and said yes. In the center of God's will. Wow. So let me just end that by just saying, you know, if this is you, if I'm talking to you this morning and the Lord is dealing with your heart about something that he wants you to do, whether and maybe you've never told anybody. And maybe you've never told him. Maybe you haven't even told your wife yet. Let me just challenge you. Would you go home and would you talk to her about that? And would you guys start to pray together about that? If you're a teenager in here and the Lord's been dealing with your heart about that, about something like this, whether it's to go into a trade and be a shining light in the world right where you are, or to go and be a youth pastor because that's what the Holy Spirit's kind of laying on your heart. He's kind of guiding you that way. Now, you know what? Don't fight whatever God is telling you to do. Say yes because he's your master and because he's working all things together for your good. Very, very practical. from the life of Peter. Let's move on. Read with me the second part of verse number 1. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that was a lot to simply say this. Here's who I'm addressing this letter to. I'm addressing it to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm addressing it to other Christians. This is my readers. I'm addressing it to Christian people. People who have saving faith. Faith of equal to ours. Now, he's going to be humble here in a second. We're going to talk about something else very humbly that he says here. But I just want to, but let me go into this story here real briefly. He's saying, this is addressed to people who have like precious faith, as some of your translations say. Like precious faith. Saving faith in the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Saving faith in the wonderful story that from eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had the plan of redemption planned out. God the Son would leave the glories of heaven. He'd be born in a feed trough. Not quite the kingly entrance that I think anybody was really expecting. He was born and placed in a feed trough. His name was Jesus. Child grew, lived a sinless life. Very important, by the way. The fact that he lived a sinless life. We talk about the death of Jesus Christ a lot, and that is extremely important. But let's not forget, the sinless life was so important as well. For if he would have been found with sin, then our penalty could not have been paid by him, for he would have had his own penalty to pay. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be no sin. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Then we come to the upper room. Later on, and as he began his public ministry, come to the upper room, and in John 13 through 17, we find he pours his heart out to his disciples. Pours it out. Judas sneaks out, going to betray him. When he gets done pouring his heart out, he leaves and goes to Gethsemane and becomes so unbelievably burdened and so in distress that the Bible says his sweat became like great drops of blood. For he knew the hour was quickly approaching when he would take on the sins of all of mankind and pay their penalty. And this added to his grief. And he knew, because he knows all things, he knew that for a time he would be forsaken by God the Father. And the hour came. Make a long story short, he carried his cross as far as he could do that till he could no longer do that. His beard was pulled out. He was beaten, mocked, spit on. And I'll be honest with you, I heard the chancellor of my Bible college say this one time, and I can totally relate. The guy that I have absolutely no use for in the midst of all of them, is the guy who covered his face. Remember this? Yeah. The guy who covered his face and hit him and said, if you are who you say you are, tell me who hit you. What a man. I'll be honest with you, if I would have been Jesus, and it's a good thing I wasn't, and I would have had the exact same power that he had, and that guy would have covered my face and hit me and said, who hit you? I'm telling you, I would have went, dude, who hit you, pal? How do you like your new hairdo? But not Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy that was set before him? I believe with all my heart as I study that passage. Number one, it was the glory of God. Number two, it was you and me. you and me. He never lost focus of why he was there, to pay the penalty for our sins that we had committed. And then he rose from the dead, was nailed to a cross, died, and then rose again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the faith that Peter is talking about here. Faith in this, that Jesus Christ came for you, and he came for me, and he died in our place. Let me just say this. I think I know a lot of you pretty well. Some of you I don't know extremely well. But if there is anyone sitting in here that you don't know Christ as Savior, or you're not sure that you know Christ as Savior, let me just encourage you with this, that he came for you. I truly believe this, and I love to tell you this, that when you were on the cross, when he was on the cross, excuse me, that you were on his mind. He never lost focus for you. Will you come to him for salvation and accept what he did for you, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? This is the faith that Peter is talking about. I'm writing to people who have placed their faith in this. Faith in Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me say one more thing here, and then we're going to move on to point number two and our last point today. Once again, we're going to see the humility of Peter here in the changed man that he is. Whenever he says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Now, there's a little bit of discrepancy, if I can say that. As to who Peter is talking about, whenever he says of equal standing with ours, I personally believe, just from studying it and reading it, that I believe he's probably referring to the other apostles. He calls himself an apostle, and to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. That's my opinion, but the point of the matter is this. Here's what he's saying. His point is, no matter who you are, it doesn't matter who I am. Yes, I'm Peter. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ first and foremost, and I'm an apostle. Yes, that's true, and I've been given authority by God to go out and to do what he's called me to do. However, it doesn't matter who I am. We are all of equal standing before God. The same salvation that you received is the same salvation that I received. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter that I'm an apostle and you're not. It doesn't matter that you've committed sins that I haven't committed. None of that matters. It's the fact that whenever we receive Christ as Savior, we stand equal with him. Or not equal with him, equal with one another, justified under the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm nobody special. I'm nobody special. I'm just a simple servant of Jesus Christ, just like you. And I am a simple servant of Jesus Christ, just like you. That's who we are. This is Peter saying hello. That was a lot to say hello with, wasn't it? But he reveals who he is. And we can be really challenged by that. Let's move on to point number two. Let's go to verse number two. And Peter's going to reveal a desire for his readers. People who are reading this, I have a desire for you. Point number two is Peter's desire for his readers. Verse number two, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And we see here, Peter doesn't hold back. He really just comes right out with it and says, this is my desire for you. You don't have to really read into anything. His desire is that his readers would experience, here's what it literally means, a never-ending supply of grace and peace in their lives. Through something, or in something. Through knowing God. That you, my desire for you, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. That means never ending, a steady stream. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, I know I don't need to go in very far, so I'm not going to. I'm just going to go over it briefly, that this concept of grace. You know, we sang about grace this morning. And most of us know what grace is. It comes from the Greek word charis, and it means God's undeserving favor, God's unmerited favor. In other words, you and I, in other words, He gives to us. We don't earn anything. He gives to us things that we don't deserve that are good and kind and favorable to us. And we found it for the first time at the cross of Jesus Christ. And most of us are aware of that. We didn't deserve to be saved, but He gave us everything that we needed to be saved. That's grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. The same is true with the peace of God. This word peace comes from the Greek word eirene, and it simply means an inner calm that comes from trusting God. And we found this also at the foot of the cross whenever we became Christians and received Jesus Christ as Savior. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Same word, same Greek word. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So both of these things begin at salvation. But Peter is talking about more than that here. He's talking about more than that. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. And the Greek word here for knowledge is the word epignosis. And it means full knowledge. It means to really know God on a deep level. Full knowledge. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the full knowledge of God. How many of you are married in here? A lot of you. How many of you wish you were married in here? Don't raise your hand. That wasn't a good question. How many of you are still dating in here? You are? How old are you? Oh, you're just stretching. Okay. Don't do that. Okay. How many of you are still dating in here? Yeah, you're married. And you're dating. That's great. Yeah. Lou, you're my hero. Remember those dating days? And hopefully a lot of us are like Lou. Hopefully all of us are like Lou whenever he says, I'm still doing this. And you know, that's really, really good. Because remember those days whenever you just found that person and you wanted that person and you hung out with that person and you couldn't stop, or at least she couldn't stop talking, and you wanted to know everything about that person. You wanted to know her hopes and dreams, or his hopes and dreams. You wanted to know that what made that person happy, what didn't make that person happy. You wanted to know what they liked, what they didn't like. You wanted to know where they came from. You wanted to know where they wanted to go. You wanted to know what their personality was like. At least I hope you did. This is what it's talking about. This is kind of the idea behind it. To really, really know on a deep level, full knowledge. Peter says, my desire for you is that you would know God this way. Because I have come to know God this way. And I know what happens when you know God this way. What are some things we know about God? Start throwing some things out. What are some things that we know about God? Sorry? He's faithful. Good. Merciful. He's good. Go ahead. Perfect. Long-suffering. He's our Savior. What's back here? Sovereign. Holy. He is love. Unconditional love. That's all you know about God? Wow, okay. We got a long way to go. No. The point is this. How did you get to know God this way? How do we know God? How do we know God this way? What do we have to do? How did you figure out all that about Him? Study His Word, right? Study His Word. You have your nose buried in this book. And you know Him. You get to know Him through this book right here. That's how you know Him. And you get to know all kinds of things about Him. And you guys have said so many of them. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Creator of all things. He's humble. He's meek. He's forgiving. He loves and He is love. He's merciful. He's sovereign. I heard that one. He's all powerful. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He's gentle. He's long-suffering. I heard that one. He works all things together for good for those who love Him. He's faithful. Heard that one. He's trustworthy. He answers prayer. You learn all these things about Him. You get to know Him. About Him and who He is. Through His Word. By pursuing Him through His Word. And as you know Him on a deeper and deeper level, and I'll be honest with you, what Peter is talking about here is honestly a little difficult to put into words, at least for me. But as you know Him, you're able to live out verses like Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the what of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen someone, maybe some of you have experienced things like this, have you ever seen somebody who is just really going through a really rough time? You ever see somebody like that? Okay, if you have, say yes. Okay, you're with me. So you've seen somebody like that. But have you seen this? But the person doesn't seem to be bothered by it. He's just he or she, they're just really not bothered. And they're not full of anxiety. And you think to yourself, man, if I was in that position, I'd be going nuts right now. If that was me. You say, what is that? That's the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, here it is. In other words, it does not make sense. It shouldn't happen. You should not be able to sleep at night going through something like this. But you're able to. Because it's the peace of God. Because you know Him. And you know who He is. And you know what He's all about. And you know that He's got everything under control. And that He is working all things together for your good, no matter how bad the situation looks. That's called the peace of God. And grace follows that. And we sang about grace today, I believe, a little bit. How we found grace at the cross. And what is grace? It's unmerited favor of God. How God will give to you everything that you need. Not that you and I deserve it, but He will give, truly give us everything we need to glorify Him and to get through whatever it is. Grace. Grace from God. Peter says, this is my desire for you. I truly believe this, and I'm all done, and we're going to wrap this up. I truly believe that Peter understood personally what he was talking about. My mind goes back to when he denied Jesus. And once again, and you've probably seen, it's been a hard thing for me to put this into words. This grace and peace of God that is a steady stream as you know Him. And it never runs out. It's infinite for you and for me as His children. But my heart, but my mind goes back to when Peter denied Jesus. When Jesus, humanly speaking, needed Him the most. And He denied Him. Said, I don't know the man. Probably because he was afraid for his own life. And the Bible says that after he denied Him, that he went out and wept bitterly. Now, I can't be dogmatic on this because I don't think we find it in Scripture, but part of me wonders as I read that and as I study the life of Peter back there in the Gospels, part of me really wonders and has wondered for a long time if at that point that he really thought he was done. Because of what he had done to the Lord Jesus Christ. that he really thought, it's over for me. I've just stepped over a line that I cannot step back over. But in Mark chapter 16, the ladies are going to the tomb to anoint Jesus. And they get there, and the stone has been rolled away. And inside, they see the angel. And the angel says to them, he has risen. And then he says something very, very interesting. In Mark 16, verse 7, you can read it. He says, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Very interesting. But go tell his disciples and Peter. In other words, don't forget about Peter. Don't forget about Peter. You make sure that he knows to come and see him. Because he's forgiving. Because he loves him. Because he's merciful. And because he's a Savior. And it's almost as if the words are coming off the page and Peter is saying, I know what this is all about. This grace and peace that will come for you as you know him. This is the Savior that I know. Do you know him today? Do we know him on a deep level? Are we in his word, finding out who he is? Studying him, seeking after him, knowing him. Peter says, when you do that, as I have done it, you will find the never-ending stream of grace and peace of God. I'm nobody special. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, sold out to what he has called me to do, and I do it gladly. And from that, I get everything that I need of the peace and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we relate to that today? Can we as a church family continue to move forward and know God and experience this in our lives? Let's do it together. Let's pray. And right before we pray, I just would like everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. And I want to just ask right now, and I've asked many questions throughout this message today. First of all, I want to give, first of all, as the instrument starts to play, I just want to give you a chance to respond. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have that saving faith that Peter's talking about here, that Peter's addressing this letter to? Do you know him as your Savior? Secondly, do you view yourself the way Peter views himself, as a servant of Jesus Christ, as a slave of God, sold out to do whatever he wants you to do, sold out to answer his call, to answer his commands, whatever they are, as your master? Maybe he's calling you into full-time Christian ministry. As a missionary, as a pastor, as an evangelist, as something else, whatever it might be. Will you say yes to him today? Don't hold back anymore. Say yes to God, as Peter did. Say, Lord, I'm your servant. And lastly, I just want to ask, do we know him today? Do we know him on a deep level? I think we all, if you're anything like me, many of you are better than me. Probably all of you are. But I know I need to know him deeper. Together, let's get to know him. And experience the grace and peace of a life lived in fellowship with God. I'm just going to give just a minute for you to have a conversation with the Lord. And then we'll pray and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful that you're here with us. Thank you for the message from your word. Thank you for your words that are a lamp under our feet and a light under our pathway. Thank you for the testimony of Peter, a man who we can follow in the footsteps of, a man who you changed. He didn't change himself, you changed him. And Father, we ask that you would continue to do the changing, sanctifying work in each and every one of our lives, in whatever way that might be. Father, we ask for your blessing now upon the remainder of this day. We pray all these things in your most precious name. Amen.